We've been in a series called Unshockable Love. This week, I was really profoundly hit with a question. I felt like I got to answer this question. And this, the title today of our message is, What Hinders God's Love Flowing Through Us? Is that a good question to think about? What hinders? Because if the Lord is saying, I don't want you to be shocked by any degree of anything. You know, the Lord didn't walk up to you and go, oh my gosh, you're really messed up. I don't think my blood shed is enough for you. You really gone off the deep. You can't do that with anybody. Just because somebody's sin is different from yours doesn't mean God can't do all that he does in every situation. Is that right? How many of you are really glad that he helped you out? Let me ask you this. How many of you are repeat offenders? And you like that song we're singing, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Some people have been in a prison so long in their own soul, they get out a little bit and they head back because it's familiar territory. And it's like the Lord saying, no, come, I have much more, because when you're bound up in there, you're not loving people. What hinders the love of God in our life? I want to go ahead and tell you, everybody in the world needs an encounter with the love of God. Everybody needs an encounter with the love of God. You need ongoing encounters with the love of God. But everybody needs the power of His love. Is that right? I believe that the Lord came, and His desire is that we so represent His love in our conduits of His love that what hinders that is taken out of the way, so we can actually reach through and touch people. Jesus said it. He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's talking about Himself. That whosoever would believe in Him should not perish. He's into nobody perishing. Are people going to perish? Yes. But it's not God's will. God's will is that none should perish and that all should have everlasting life. And that's our marching orders. We're marching on. So what gets in the way? Jesus even took all of the commandments, all of them, and said, I'm going to summarize all the commandments for you. Ready? Here's two things. Just two things. Ready? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's number one. Put me first. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. That's number two. And Jesus kind of fine-tuned it a bit in John 13:34 when he said, a new commandment. Because they hadn't really had this like this. Jesus said, a new commandment I'm giving you now. I want you to love one another. He says, you know the way that I loved you? In the way that I have loved you, how has the Lord loved you? Let's think about that for a minute. And the way that I have loved you, I want you to love others. What hinders us from doing that? What is the hindrance behind that? I remember I've written songs about this. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, that's where it's coming from, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. He wants you to be strong by His Spirit inside of you, that you be... that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love. Everybody say maturity. Maturity is about being rooted and grounded in His love. And then Paul goes, I feel like Paul goes, he writes the word love and goes, and has one of those moments. Have you ever just thought of a word and have a whole another thing happen? You start thinking, he says, the riches, be rooted and grounded in love. And then he goes, oh my God, may have strength to comprehend. These words are incredible because he says to have strength to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth? To have strength. I think the love of God is so heavy that you need strength for it to go. You need to have strength to comprehend it. The love of God has such a weight that when it goes through you, I remember Heather and I, when we were doing a cleansing stream retreat, and there was a big number of people. It was at the David Lawrence Convention Center. And that night, she just became very, very overwhelmed. Just overwhelmed. And she was feeling the stress and pressure of trying to meet the needs of all those people. Because we were the retreat leaders, the heads of it, right? And we're laying in bed and we said, Lord, would you just come and help? And I'm not kidding. I'm laying in the bed and I'm next to her. And I feel, it's not upon me, but I actually feel the power of God's love come upon my wife. It's like being next to a fire. And you feel the warmth of that fire. And this presence came upon her. And she just began to sob. Because God was pouring His love upon her, saying, "It's not you, baby. It's me. It's my love." How many of you need a dose of the ghost? Men do most with a dose of the Holy Ghost, right? Men do. You have an impartation of God's love, and things change when you are filled up. And this is what Paul's saying here. He says to know, and he says to have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. Get this, surpasses knowledge. You and I can say, I read about when they took ice cream down to South America. And you could explain ice cream all day long. But until you have ice cream, you don't know what it is. And you know what they said? They lick it and go, "It burns. It's caliente, caliente. It burns." They didn't know, have a word for cold. Isn't that amazing? It surpasses knowledge. You can't explain an encounter with the Lord, but when somebody has one, when somebody is enveloped with the love of God, "I want this entire region to be enveloped in the love of God." So that people are laying on their bed at night and start weeping because of the visitation of the Lord. I believe the stress of our culture coming upon people is setting us up for that kind of move of God. So don't get discouraged. He says that you would know the love of God that passes knowledge. And then this is the kicker, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness. You know what the word fullness comes from? It comes from a ship being so loaded with cargo that it can't have one more thing on it or it might go under. That God says, "I want you so equipped with me that you're so resourced by all that I am that there's never any lack of all of my capabilities in you." And then the very next sentence goes on and says, "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that he works within us." This is the key thing. And what hinders this? What stops this from happening? We underestimate the true condition of our hearts. This is really, I believe, the answer. We underestimate what's going on in us and how desperately we need the Lord. We were in the Anaheim Convention Center probably 5 years ago, and was at a Foursquare convention and a connection there. And I heard Wayne Cadero is really a wonderful leader, and he was talking about, he often meets with people in Starbucks and they do devotions together. And we were sitting down. I said, "Oh, Wayne's going to be there. Go." So I was down there, and we're sitting across from him. A few guys I knew, Dan Hicks, different guys. We're sitting there, and we're just reading the Word. And he made a comment, and I know it was for me. Have you ever had a time when they're talking to others, but you know it's for you? And Wayne goes like this. There was a beautiful lady that came to our church who needed ministry. And the Lord said to me, "Wayne, if you love her out of your love, she'll get attached to you. But if you love her out of my love, she'll get attached to me. If you love her out of your love, if you minister to her out of your love, she'll become attached to you. Is that what you want, Wayne? If you minister to out of my love, your representation of him and his love," he says, "my love will come through you and empower you, and she'll get attached to me." Is that a word of wisdom or what? And that's what I'm talking about. People in our community need the love of God, but they don't need you stressed out about it. You need to get out of the way. But what's in the way? Are you hearing me today? This is our question. I feel like the Lord led me to this. I want us to look at this together. Number one, what's in the way? Ready? A deceived heart. We don't really understand the condition of our heart, and we need to surrender it. Now you say, here's the average person. I'm not deceived. I mean, that's really how everybody reacts to that. But we're going to believe the Word of God or what? We're going to believe the truth of the Word, or we're going to believe our opinion? We're going to have our idea, or we're going to look at the Word and say, "It's true. And I need my heart and my mind conformed to the Word." So it says this: "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? Jesus was walking along with his disciples. His disciples picked up something, a little bite to eat. the Pharisees freak out. You know, they're always freaking out. Everything, they just freak out, you know. He said, oh, they didn't wash their hands the way with the ceremonial ritual watching, you know. And Jesus says, oh, there they go again. And Jesus explains, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. He's giving an illustration to this verse. He says, every plant that my Father didn't plant is being uprooted. In other words, this tradition of the elders' business, it's not the Word of God. It's coming up. They're the blind leading the blind. They're putting things on people that are not from me. He said, they're not creating liberty. He said, they'll just lead each other and fall into a ditch anyway. Let me go ahead and say, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. And then he gives the list. I put it down here. What comes out of the mouth, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from where? From where? Where? The heart. And what? And this defiles a person, for out of the heart come. And look at this list. Let me see. Let's go ahead and say, in your flesh, have this ever happened to you? Ready? Have you ever had evil thoughts? Anybody? Don't raise your hands. This is not one of those. Murder? Have you ever wished somebody was dead? I probably have. Okay. Okay. Adultery. Now, this sensual culture we live in is all about that. And sexual immorality. Totally, totally over the top. Sensuality to the max. Right? Theft. False witness. Slander. That pretty much nails the condition of a deceived heart, right? By the way, this is a wonderful thing. We will get to a wonderful solution at the end. So praise God in advance, right? These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone, Jesus said. He was living by the 10-second rule. If you drop it on the ground, you can even 10 seconds. If they get that. Some people fudge and say, that's 30 seconds. Some people say, an hour later, I'm still going. Well, just what is it? I have a little fun up in here. Look at your next verse, Colossians 3:14. I just felt quickened about this because Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things. And this says, above all things, these put on love. Above all these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Number two, a deceived heart. Number two, a distracted heart. A distracted heart. What hinders the love of God? Well, the deceived heart, of course. The Bible says a deceived heart will be, you know, deceitfulness of sin hardens a heart. A distracted heart. 1 John 2:15. I want to just go right for the juggler of a distracted heart. Do not love the world. Tell somebody else, do not love the world. Now tell them like you mean it. Or the things in the world, right? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is pretty stout stuff, isn't it? If your heart's all wrapped up in the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. See, that's amazing. For what is in the world, and he says it, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You could be in Paul's apostolic team and fall away. You could be in Jesus' ministry and fall away. I have a verse down there. It says, Demas, in loving this present world, deserted me. Demas shows up three different times in scriptures as being a part of the team. And this time he says, Demas left. What happened to him? He got involved in desires of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Something appealed to him. And he got a lion's share of his heart. And he walked off. Judas, for 30 stinking pieces of silver. Something had his heart. Everybody say idolatry. Things can get up in your mind and you go, I want this. I got stories. I'm actually new in the ministry. I've only been doing this about 22 years. But I've got stories. I've watched my life make bad decisions. I've made bad. How many of you have made bad decisions? I've watched God redeem me. One of the greatest things that God's ever given me is the ability to forgive by His power. I'm not hung up in life. Of all the things that have happened, I'm as free as you can get. Except for when I do something dumb. How about you? You like to hang out with people that live in the freedom of the Lord? It's important, isn't it? And Demas left him, and Judas left. And people, and this is, these are the days that people will do that. The pressure comes down, and pressure can do one of two things. It can push you, it's up to you. It can push you to the Lord, or it can push you away from the Lord. You choose. Am I going to Him? Going away. Right? Aren't you glad when people come alongside and say, let's go this way? Because there are days when your helmet of salvation is kind of crooked. And the last knocking you took almost got you all confused a bit there. And you're a bit what they call shell-shocked. And you have these thoughts come in, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Preach it to the choir now. Go ahead, do that again. Uh-huh. It's true. And then somehow you sit down in the quietness of your soul and the Lord's presence sweeps in and there's this stillness and that holiness and that love and all those things that Christ is to us. And then He comes in that presence and He affirms something to us of our value and our worth in the midst of having maybe failed or being unsure. And He just comes and breathes with this sweet whisper and He causes all that to melt away. And reestablishes who you are to Him, and you become certain once again that it's worth it all. It's certain, and it's worth it all to walk with Jesus, no matter what happens in this realm. It's a certain thing you should just lay hold of. I think we're going to do a series soon called The Perseverance of the Saints. Would that be a good topic? Because there's an impact that God still wants us to have, but there's hindrances that can happen and hinder us, and one of those is a distracted heart. Now, the ones that I've just pointed out are maybe not really relate to, but I'm sure you might relate to Martha. Jesus was coming to Martha and Mary's house. He's coming to be with them. And Martha got so involved in serving. Hello, but not in the right spirit. And Jesus said, you're anxious and worried about many things. Martha was so worked up. She had Jesus Christ in her home. And she had another idol going on in her head. I got to serve Him. So much so, she started to complain in front of Jesus about Mary sitting on her duff, not doing anything. Wow. The only time Jesus ever says somebody's name twice. You know, when Jesus would say, Simon, I think it was when he was wishy-washy. When he'd say Peter, it was when, because he gave him the name Peter, rock, you know, I think it was when he was more sturdy. But half the time we'd just say Simon Peter because he was just back and forth. Martha, Martha. Kind of like saying your first, you know, when your mom yells out your first and second name, you know. Martha, Martha. And she calms down and she says, you know, Mary has chosen. You're distracted. Your heart's distracted. She's chosen the better part. There's a portion of being with the Lord. Somebody here today just needs to be reminded, spend time with the Lord, more time. You've lost that. You need to be at His feet. Spend time with the Lord. Somebody here, the Lord's, I don't know who you are. Spend time with the Lord. Mark out the time. Don't let that get away from you. Are you here? The Lord, when I was standing over here during the worship time, the Lord, or during the prayer time, the Lord quickened me, says, I'm the shepherd and I'm here. And I feel like this is a tender thing. I need us to say, let's open up to tender instruction from the Lord. Are you there? So in the midst of this, He says, you can have a distracted heart. 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourself from idols. This is the most amazing thing. Here's John. 1 John is a big letter. It was kind of a long letter with five chapters. He's talking all these dynamics, and a lot of it is about love. He goes on, and it hit me today. It's the funniest thing to go, and by the way, you know, he's talking on and on and on, and he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. It's the oddest ending. But I think you're saying is this, a distracted heart will steal it all. Getting something else is more important of a priority than the Lord Himself will steal everything I just talked about. Are you there? And lastly, a damaged heart, a deceived heart, a distracted heart, and now a damaged heart. I want to go to a little verse in Genesis 3, starting with verse 8. Right after, this picks up right after the failure of being tempted by the snake and them having taken of the fruit and eaten it. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the tree and I ate." And the woman, she's got a red face now. And the Lord said to the woman, "And is what is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." This verse 10. And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." This is their initial response. They're afraid. Why? Because they disobeyed and their eyes were opened and to the fact that they were naked. And on top of that, now they're ashamed of themselves in this discovery of their exposure. And they're ashamed because they disobeyed the only one command that God had given them. And now they knew something was deeply wrong with them. And so now what's their response? They're trying to cover themselves up. They're taking little fig leaves and trying to make little clothes. And they go into hiding. Tell somebody next to you, you're one of the sons of Adam and Eve. Or daughter, you're a daughter, you're a son and daughter of Adam and Eve. So I got to thinking about this. Let me take that one sentence. "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Or you could say it this way. "When I heard that you were coming around, I was afraid because I was ashamed of what I had done and I went into hiding to solve it by myself." Or, "When the thought of you came to my mind, I became anxious because I was ashamed that I messed up. So I buried it deep within me." You can pick one. "When someone brings up the subject of God, I feel uneasy because I know that I'm flawed and I don't want to face it, so I skirt the issue. When someone says God loves me, I feel nervous because I don't think God could forgive me for the things I've done, so I stay away from those people." Have you run into this? Were you one of them? "When someone tells me God loves me, my initial reaction is one of anxiety because I have made mistakes in life and I quickly change the subject. When someone tells me about God, I fear being rejected because deep down I know I've done some things wrong and I want to avoid any more rejection, so I check out. When I think that God is coming to get me, I'm very anxious because I don't want anyone to know where I've screwed up in life, and now I have to admit I've become a control freak." Does anybody relate to any of these thoughts? Here you go. "I find it difficult to open up about my life because I'm afraid that if you heard what I've done, you will be ashamed of me. And I can't take that because I'm already ashamed of myself. So I hide it and I cover it up with drinking, drugs, and sex." Let's take it another little notch. "I tell myself God doesn't exist because I'm afraid that I've fallen so far below a standard for my life that I only associate with others who bury their pain the way I do. And I hate everyone who represents God to me. A good God doesn't exist because I was abused, and I'm ashamed and fearful to tell anyone because it's his fault anyway. These are all variations of how to respond. You understand what I'm saying? Look at the next verse on your paper there. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, why is there fear? Look, for fear has to do with punishment. That's why people judge. Love doesn't. Love bears all things. Love leaves the judging up to God. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. But fear has punishment. The fear is rooted in punishment. And it's based on that verse. I'm afraid because I'm ashamed. See, I have something exposed about my life. And because of that, I've hid myself. I have to take control of it. Does this really resonate? I can't handle you finding out what's going on. So I have to bury it. But then the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ready for just a little good news at the end here now? Ezekiel was foretold by Ezekiel. Jesus said, the Lord speaking through that, Ezekiel 36:25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone, and I'll put in a heart of flesh, so that you can actually do what I've asked you to do. What I've realized is that there are things that hinder the love of God flowing through our lives. Sometimes it's just a reality that you feel you trust way too much in yourself. And that's a deception. It's always you trying to figure it out. And there's a deception, a level of deception. There's a way that seems right to a man, it leads to destruction. And there's a way that just doesn't work. Is anybody here with me today? I know that, look, there's a tender thing here, but I don't want anybody, and I don't feel like you are checking out. But I think we're on a theme here that's really relevant to the fact that when you and I begin to say, I want to love further than I've loved before, I want to be a greater representation of Jesus, that there's stuff that hinders that. If you would allow the Lord just briefly, as you lift up your heart to the Lord, let's just take a moment. Set everything aside just for a moment. If you would lift your head, don't bow it, so to speak, but lift it, if you would be so kind. The blood speaks. And it speaks forgiveness to a deceived heart. The blood speaks. It speaks forgiveness to a distracted heart. The blood speaks. It speaks forgiveness to a damaged heart. It speaks healing. So Spirit of God, fall fresh just in these moments right here. Fall fresh. Fall fresh. Can I lead us in a prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, I bring you my heart and the condition that it is in. I ask that you work within me. I give you everything that has been deceived, distracted, and damaged. I ask for your new heart. Let a fresh empowerment of your love happen in me. Come upon me, Lord. Move within me, Lord. And give me a capacity to love beyond where I've been able to. I receive your love for me. And I choose to be a conduit of your love for others. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.